Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everybody, it's James here. Just before we get into the podcast, I just want to let you know that we're taking our live podcast on the road to Dublin on Sunday, the 21st of May. It's a Sunday evening. It's a nice intimate gig, about 180 people, and the tickets are gone. So we sold out the Opera House a couple of weeks ago, 1,000 people, great night. And we got to meet people afterwards, say hi, and for photos and stuff. Because the Sugar Club is a smaller venue, we should have more time to meet with people afterwards, and maybe we'll have an opportunity to take questions and stuff. So we're really looking forward to that. It's a first Dublin gig, and yeah, very exciting to see how it goes, and hopefully we'll see some Cork people that I haven't seen for a while that are living in Dublin, and make some new friends while we're up there as well, some of our Dublin followers. So hope to see you there. The tickets are available on the Ticketmaster website. So without further ado, I'll introduce you to this podcast, which is focused around further education. And we have the testimonies of two people who went through to university via further education. So myself and Timmy did. And as you guys know, we're very passionate about education. So if you're thinking about maybe changing career or changing your life even, and you're thinking about education, but you're not maybe confident enough to go straight into university, then maybe further education college is the way to go. So if you're interested in that, have a listen to these stories and have a great weekend. God bless.
Hello everybody and welcome back to the Two and Ollie's podcast. I'm your host James, and I'm joined as always by my good friend Timmy Long.
Hi everyone.
We're down in Radio Kerry. Grand little gaff to him, isn't it?
Fine spot here. Yeah. We're admiring the studio they have here. For the last hour, I'd say we.
Yeah, we wanted to come down to Kerry and record a couple of podcasts emphasising education. So Teresa, our friend in Kerry College, got us two guests, and our first one is Lisa O'Flaherty. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Is that a beautiful English accent you have?
It is.
It's naturally.
Well, my English friends would say it's a bit of an Irish twang with it now these days, but
yeah. Is it? Yeah. So how's the farm with you today?
Good. Nice to get out of the office for a bit and do something different.
Yeah, because you're working in Kerry ETB.
So Kerry ETB is part of, well, Kerry College is part of Kerry ETB. Yeah. So I'm in their head office there doing PR and events.
And you've come through Kerry College yourself?
I did. It was a long time ago. It was, I think, 11 years ago, 10 years ago. Yeah. I did a level 5 course inside, and what was it? It was just Kerry ETB then. Mm. But it was something that I hadn't done because I'd left college when I'd left school at 16 in London and gone straight to work because I was just, all I wanted to do is have money to buy clothes and go out.
What part of England? You're from London?
Yeah. Harrow. Yeah.
So who's the football team near your house?
Well, it isn't the one near my house that I support.
Controversial. I must have one near your house.
The one nearest my house, I don't know, would it be Watford, which isn't a Premiership team? So I have a fellow West Ham supporter.
I know, Timmy's the only West Ham supporter I know.
But West Ham were probably one of the biggest clubs back in the 60s, 70s.
They were. Well, my dad first moved to London. He used to watch West Ham from a block of flats next door. They used to be able to watch the games. So that's why he started supporting West Ham, and he took me as a child. So
actually, there's a team in London, Leighton Orient.
Yeah.
And Leighton Orient, and on the corner flags, there's a block of flats in each of the corners, you know, and the stadium is built in
around it.
Yeah. Jeez. It's a mad stadium. But what was it like growing up for you? What was London like?
London you didn't get the same freedom as you did here, because I grew up a bit here as well in Listowel, so I would have lived in London and spent my summers back here in Ireland, because my dad's from Listowel originally. So my parents would have owned pubs in London, so I'd have had a pretty big playground really to be spoiled, and people giving you bags of sweets and nicking bottles of crisps and bags of crisps and bottles of Coke or whatever. Yeah. But it wasn't the same. Like, I always loved Ireland because I used to love coming back here for my summer holidays, going to the beach and being out with my cousins, and the freedom that you got here. Mm. It's very different.
The countryside there's just something about it, particularly Kerry.
Yeah.
Kerry is one of the most beautiful spots on the planet, not just in Ireland. It's the views down around here are spectacular. But is your mother from Ireland as well?
My mum was born in London, but her parents are from Listowel as well.
Okay, so...
so it's a big connection.
In London, you were probably there during the school years and back here then for the summers.
For the summer holidays all the time.
That must have been... there must have been great memories, wouldn't it?
Oh, it was. But then I look back now and I could remember being kind of put on a plane at Heathrow. And you used to have to wear this little badge around your neck, and the air hostess used to bring you off the other side, and your family used to pick you up. Like, my daughter's 11 now, and I couldn't imagine her doing me putting her on a plane. So, but no, I did it. I loved coming over and stay for the 6 weeks, and I had no mobile phone to be ringing and texting them every day. And it's just things have changed a lot.
They have changed, yeah.
You reminded me there, I would have spent a lot of time in Dublin when I was a kid, you know, on summer holidays and midterm breaks and stuff like that. But I've memories of my dad putting me on the train, he sitting me next to a nun or somebody, and like then my uncle collecting me and another. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't do that in this day and age, would you?
So my daughter said she went to go up to the garage the other day, and where she would walk down from school sometimes, but thinking of her crossing that main road to the other side, I was like, oh, I don't know. I was getting planes.
Do you think we're too protective of our kids today, as in years ago? I remember when we were kids, we'd go out, you could be 6, 7, 8 years of age, you'd go out in the street and you wouldn't be back in that door till that night.
But I think the world's a different place, and we know more now. I think, like, there was things that didn't maybe get spoken about that happened, and dangers that didn't get spoken about that happened, and we're more knowledgeable about that now.
So we're
more cautious then, I think. But sometimes I know I can be a little bit overprotective because she's an only child and she's my pride and joy, so I probably can be, but sure, you have to spoil them at the same time.
Yeah. What was school like for you?
School was good. I was a pretty good student up to when I went to secondary school. I didn't get to go to the secondary school I wanted to go to. And my parents also at one point thought they were going to send me to a private secondary school. So they got me a tutor. So when I went into secondary school, I was a little bit advanced and a little bit bored. Didn't get to go to the school I wanted to. So wasn't exactly the model student in secondary school.
And did you rebel then because of those reasons in secondary?
Not so much rebel. I don't think any of my teachers would have had anything bad, but I just wasn't really engaged that much, and I just found it all a bit of a chore. I just wasn't interested. If I had somewhere else to be that I felt was more important, quite frequently I'd be gone.
That transition happens to a lot of people, doesn't it? From the step up from primary school here in Ireland. I don't know what the name would have. What's your primary?
High school, is it?
So we have, primary. They call it middle school then when you get to a certain age, and then it's secondary.
But the step up secondary is tough. It's a tough integration. Yeah. You're going, like, you're in there, you're babied, you're minded by the teachers. Now you're going into secondary, you have 6 or 7 different teachers in one day. You know, there's not one of them really kind of can see it mostly. And you're going in there as well, and you're mingling with people who are 4 and 5 years older than you, and a lot of them are doing things like
that could have been my downfall,
drink
I think,
and drugs
so.
And stuff like that. And you're looking up to them, and you start giving them respect. Yeah. I know that was one of the main reasons I started dabbling at a young age, was because I started hearing about these things, and I looked at the lads that were older than me. They're cool, you know. A lot of them were into joyriding as well, and you know, so like that kind of transition has a lot to do with. With the kind of
becoming in your puberty years and the awkward teenage years, and then moving schools, and then if it wasn't the school you wanted, and but did you finish it up or did you leave earlier?
I finished school, and like I think my problem was I could adapt to things. Like I could, like, if I had to get something done, I could get it done. I didn't have to study for weeks and end, and so I was fortunate in that way. Like I could pick things up quick enough, and I could do just enough to get by and get away with it. So I didn't have to. I could go through school with minimum effort and still stay under the radar slightly, not to get in trouble too much. Because if I needed to go write an essay the night before it was due or do an assignment, I could manage to get it done. So
what did you do after school?
I went to work and I thought I wanted to be a florist initially. And I did do that for a little bit. And then I was working in Selfridges in Oxford Street in the designer shoe department. So I loved that.
Yeah.
You know, women and designer shoes. and I did that for a while. And then I got into recruitment. So that's where kind of my career started, I suppose. Mm. I was an administrator. And one of the recruitment consultants very early on was off sick long term. And I just said, I'll do it. Let me do it, and jumped on her desk, and I did that for years. I had like 120 staff out a day. The desk was probably, that was over 20 years ago. Mm. And the desk was making a profit of like 5,000 a week. So it's a pretty big job for someone in the early 20s, But yeah, so I did that for a long time and I learned lots doing it. So, but it was a very work hard, play hard career. Like recruitment was in those days, that's what everybody did. You worked really hard, you got your bonuses, everyone went out after work every day. Mm. It was a fast-paced life, I suppose.
And that was probably the 90s, so was it?
It could have been around then, yeah.
They were mad enough times, weren't they? Yeah. I know they were back here in Cork, any of me.
And what age when you had your kid?
I didn't have Ruby till I was 34.
Okay, so did you work like in recruitment for your audio
studies? No, I did work for a lot, and then I decided that I'd kind of fell into that career, even though I did well at it. I felt like I'd fallen into it. So I did financial exams, they're called FPC exams, to qualify me to do financial stuff. So I ended up doing mortgages and that for a few years. So, and I enjoyed that as well. I liked the target-driven environments, and I liked, and they were, well paid, the bonuses and the money and the holidays and the lifestyle and all that kind of stuff. But they're both tough careers that you just didn't work 9 to 5.
Yeah.
In recruitment, it was industrial, so I was in the office at 6 a.m. So by the time I was 30, I practically felt like I was ready to burn out. Mm. And that's, I think, where the very impulsive decision to move to Ireland within a week
came from. Just up the left.
Yeah, well, I had my notes in and everything. I wasn't that bad, but it was very, no, I don't want to do this anymore.
But in England in general, I was over there recently for a trip, and I found it so fast-paced. Everything was so quick.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, you know, people walking on the streets, everything was, people were so stressed and beeping. And, you know, and then I came back here to Cork, and I was like, whoa, you could feel the difference in the energy. The ambience is much more relaxed, you know. It just felt like it was just 100 miles an hour, people running around in speed. Over there, it's just fast paced.
My daughter's 11 and we were only talking the other day and she was like, would you live back in London? And I was like, if I won millions in the lottery, I'd have a nice apartment there, but I don't think I'd live there full time. I said, would you want to live there? And she's like, no, I prefer it here. She just, she loves going over for the visit, but it's just, you get tired. It's just, I find it quite exhausting being back there now with the hustle and bustle of everything. I just got used to a different way of life.
And what was your pathway through education then? How did you end up coming back into further education? Is you looking for opportunities back here, is it?
Yeah, well, I was here and I was working. And then when I had my daughter then, and I was off work, I was off for about a year with her. She was about turning one. And in that year, my life had changed a lot. So I'd been with her dad a couple of years and the relationship kind of started to break down during the pregnancy. So when she got to about 8 months old, it just wasn't a healthy environment for any of us to be in. And we decided then that, you know, that it was just better to part ways. It wasn't an environment that I wanted a child being brought up in, because my parents should have probably divorced a good few years before they did. And so I knew what it was like. So so she was about 8 months old when we split up, and I found it difficult because nobody ever sets out, I think, to be a single parent, and it was a lot to deal with. But also for the first time in my life, I hadn't worked. So work for years had been my sense of purpose.
Yeah.
And that was then gone. And obviously being a mum's a fantastic sense of purpose, but it's a massive adjustment between that and the breakdown of the relationship. And I found things very difficult with my mental health. Like, I'd never really been a worrier or anxious before, and all that kind of crept in. And obviously when you have kids, you worry about them. But all this was really new to me at that point. So I a friend of mine was going doing the level five in social care, and I'd always liked the idea of psychology. And I started looking up actually a psychology degree in Limerick, and I was like, I'm sure I can't do that. And anyway, I can't get there, it's too far away, and I can't afford it. And all these excuses we tell ourselves so that we don't do something.
Yeah.
And I went to Clash, which is now Kerry College, Clash Road, and did a level five in social care with the intention of getting out of the house and meeting some people. And that was it. I didn't even care whether I passed the course or not, to be honest. Yeah. That was about all I went in with a focus on.
And did you enjoy it?
I absolutely loved it.
What was the best thing about it?
The sense of achievement from actually realising that I could actually do something, like getting my first distinction on an assignment. I was like, okay, I can actually do this. Because I'd been out of education since I was 16, and then I was about 35 when I went back.
What age was the profile in general in the class?
Much younger.
Yeah, that was my experience too. Yeah. You feel a little bit like, at the start, a little bit out of place. Like,
yeah.
I definitely felt out of place.
There was it probably wasn't as bad as some courses, because social care attracts some older students, but there was people who just left school as well.
Yeah.
Do you know that course, because you were going through your own issues in life as well, were there modules in that course help you understand that what was going on for you as
Absolutely,
well?
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and started, like, light bulbs started going off in your head then.
And even more so, it's jumping on a bit, but when I did psychology as part of my degree, they actually say, like, everything we're going to talk about in this, you're going to think, I know that that's me, or that's someone I know, or they're like, try not to do it. But it does make you, give you another understanding. But also when you have to write essays and the research you have to do and look into things, and I suppose social care makes you look at yourself and society a bit as well.
Mm.
So you do get an understanding of things, probably a bit too much sometimes, because then, like, people might do something bad and I'm always the one to go, oh, but you don't know what they've been through, do you know?
Or else you become aware of, like, wider injustices that you have no power to change, and then that can be, you know, you have to try and find, like, how you actually try to accept, like, we say we're in recovery, and we say the serenity prayer, you have to learn to accept the things you cannot change, and the courage to change the things you can.
Yeah.
And social care is a bit like that.
Yeah.
You're addressing a symptom of a child in care or somebody in a residential unit or whatever, and then you're a little tiny little cog in a huge system, and you might help that one individual, but you have to just focus on the little wins that you get.
Yeah.
Because if you think about the huge issues in the society, it can be very disheartening.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
You said you did psychology there. Where did you go?
Well, I didn't do it. I went on to do the degree in the IT Tralee. So I went on, and again, like, I didn't think I could do it. And if it wasn't for Tressa, who brought us in here today, I would never have done it.
What did she say or do?
She gave me fantastic support through the course. There was a couple of occasions where I'd come in with just life problems, and she was always there to help me. But then there was when I got my results. So when they opened, I was on at the college, and she was like, you're capable, you can do it. I was like, no, I can't. And the CEO application, you can do it. Go up to that college now, or I'm actually going to drag you up. I think the words are something around that. Because I felt like I couldn't do it. And she's like, you are more than capable to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And she really pushed me to make sure that I did it. And without that, I wouldn't have gone and done it, because it wasn't my intention. I still, even though I got the sense of achievement from doing that level five, I still didn't have the belief in myself that I could go and get a degree.
Sometimes we need people in our lives to just give us that extra push, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes we mightn't have the belief in ourselves, and that person is put there, like, to just push over the line. I had a few people like that as well. On numerous occasions, I felt like it was too much for me.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, because what was happening for me, when I came across information that was difficult for me to understand, I'd start panicking, I'd get anxious, and I didn't really know how to explain what was going on for me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now I do, but at the time I had this voice in my head that was just telling me that I was stupid, I was tick, there was something wrong with my brain because of all the drugs that I've taken in the past. But it's very, very important that you surround yourself with people. For any mature student out there that's thinking of going back to the college and they don't think that they'll be good enough or able for it, make sure the minute you get into the colleges you ask for help. And that's what you've done, wasn't it?
Yeah, and when I met Tress and doing my level five, she could kind of see when there was things wrong, ask was all right, or there was just a couple of things. At the time she worked, I think she was a counsellor as well at the time. So I asked her, it was something not to do with school or teaching, it was something to do with social welfare. They actually were trying to stop my social welfare payment because I didn't receive a maintenance payment from my daughter's dad. And at the time, it was just things weren't communicating well between us, that I was going to go and take him to court and get one, because I didn't want the whole drama, and there was just things that needed to happen and not happen. So she just helped me with that, made a phone call and supported me, and that kept me there again, because if they'd stopped my payment, I wouldn't be able to get to college.
That's amazing.
So, and that wasn't the only, like, she wasn't the only person in my years at college that did something like that. And there was people who I was fortunate enough, cared enough to ask what was wrong, and them doing that kept me in college.
And you eventually went down to university, or to IT?
Yeah, to the IT Chile. So I did the 3-year degree there. And even in my first term there, another incident, I had no money for oil in the tank. It was coming up to Christmas. I'd been crying. I wasn't going to come back. And one of the lecturers spotted me and he was like, what's wrong? And I was like, I can't come back. I've no money to put oil in the tank. Because, I don't know, it was about €220 a week. I was getting in, 65 was going to the creche, which is the fantastic facility on site that my daughter was in there. I could drop her off at 8:30 to leave her there till, I don't know, was it 6:30? But I'd actually stay in college the day and get my work done as well. But then it's, I don't know, was it €30 in diesel? So, and whatever was left between rent and food and whatever else, you could barely scrape by. Mum used to cook me dinner a couple of nights a week, you know, but
it took some determination.
Yeah. Well, the first year I didn't do any part-time work because Ruby was too small. So it was really hard the first year. But that day when the lecturer spotted that, it was Pat McGarthy, spotted that I was upset, and he asked me what was wrong, and I said, and he said, you need to go and see student supports. And there's lovely lady Valerie Moore there. And I went in and I was like, oh, and I don't know how many students she must see crying. But I was like, I can't say. And she's like, are you paying, show me what you're paying out. And childcare is a cost that they can help with in some form of way. There's a certain fund, I can't remember the name of it now, but
Student Assistant Fund.
Yeah, I think it might be, yeah. But they were able to, I gave them my receipts for the childcare and they were able to give me a cheque then, and that was able to put oil into the tank and get us through the winter.
And take some worry off you and some stress
and
pressure.
Yeah, because without that, I wouldn't have kept in college. Like, I remember that first year, you make an excuse not to go into the canteen at lunchtime, say, oh, I'm going studying, because you didn't have the money to buy something.
I can completely relate to it. I remember my wife was the only one working at the time, and I was in college. I was in CIT's MTU now, and financially we were strapped, and we were down to maybe every week we'd be down to maybe €20 after everything was paid out, because she had her own part-time job with two young children, and I was in college full-time. And I wasn't able to work because it was extra hard for me, you know, because I was dyslexic and I was only learning for the first time in my life, and it was very difficult, you know. But you do get there in the end, you know. You do get there if you push hard enough. James, you know this, like, as well, like, yeah. In college, there's no income there. Like, and the reason I'm saying this is so college isn't turned off by anybody if they haven't got it financially. Yeah.
And that's the thing, I would have thought, I didn't know the system in Ireland, and not everybody does know any system anywhere, but like, I didn't know that there were supports for people. Like me, as a single parent, there was a way that my fees.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Were paid. So I didn't know that existed until someone made, I didn't know where to find the information. Somebody gave that information to me to encourage me to go to college. Go, no, you don't have to worry about that. So that, because in England, you don't have that option, or you didn't back then anyway. I don't know if you do now, but so I wasn't aware of it at all. So to get that was massive. And then, like, people think, oh, 3 years or 4 years at college. It went so quickly. It was just assignment to assignment term.
It's so busy, isn't it? Like, you put your head into the books in September before you come up for air. It's May.
Yeah.
And then, isn't it? And but it is tough financially. And I remember, like, my wife would have been working at the time. I was on the backed education allowance, €200. And I remember doing my master's, and the one that stands out to me, I remember doing my master's, and you've 3 semesters, so before Christmas, after Christmas, and then the summer as well. So it's 12 months through. And I remember being in the library over in UCC, and my friends were going to the beach and stuff on a, you know, Friday morning or something if they were off work. And I was thinking to me, what are you doing? Like, you're in an arse your pants. You're in the library here, like, but always focusing on the long-term goal, you know, that it's going to be worth it in the end. I get my graduation, and nobody can ever take that from me.
Yeah.
And that's what it takes, a master's or an honours degree or a degree. It takes determination and resilience to get through it, and an understanding that it's not always going to be like this. You know, it does get better. And there's another side to it as well. Education is very important as well. It opens up our mind to so many different things in life. You know, I know it did with me, and if I didn't go back to education, I wouldn't have the vocabulary I have today because I had no vocabulary. I knew street language, nothing else. You know, reading and writing wasn't something I was able to do, application forms. No, I'm the one that my wife comes to fill out the application form or whatever needs to be done. No, it takes me a bit of time, but I get it done. That's great for my confidence, and it's a great sense of achievement as well. You know, but it takes time.
It does, you know. And you said there about resilience. Like, I think the whole process of going through college, the resilience that I got through that, whether it be through my personal circumstances and having to keep going, or just learning, like in social care as well, they do say there's a counselling service inside the IT or in MTU for everybody. And it's, they do, when you're doing social care, saying, look, we do advise, if you're going to be supporting people with your problems, that you should just avail of that service. And at the time, she was, you know, everyone thinks, oh, I don't need this. And but I did go, and I was so glad I did engage, and I stayed engaged in it the whole way through, because there's many ups and downs through those years for lots of things between personal reasons and stress from college and money worries or whatever. But the tools that they gave me to work through them are probably what gave me my resilience now, which then, for example, in my job that I do now, when I'm doing an event and it doesn't faze me to go and do, you know, I might be doubting myself. Like when I first started here, I got asked to MC a large event for Kerry College, and we had Simon Harris coming down, and it was one, I hadn't been here very long, and I walked into the room and there was, like, I don't know, 200 or 300 people there, and I was like, what am I doing this? But all the resilience that I'd been taught over the years, and to say to yourself, stop, Lisa, of course you can do this, all, you know, all those tools are still there to do it, and I was able to do it. But where before, if you'd have asked me to do something like that before that time, I wouldn't have even spoken a microphone. I wouldn't have even stood up and spoke in front of a room full of people. And that's really what I've been doing ever since I went through college.
You'll have to get used to it all, because with an accent like that, they're never going to put the Kerry people on the mic.
We're in Kerry now, James, with a load of people from Kerry inside the room. Be careful what you say. We won't get out of here alive, to be honest.
You want to finish us up? Have you any advice for maybe any single mums out there struggling with looking for a bit of direction or new opportunities, or even contemplating education? Like, what could you say, or, you know, that might inspire them or just nudge them to apply even?
But just to take the first step And whether that just be talk to somebody who's done a course, or like for example, even Kerry College, that they have an admissions office where people can go in and speak to somebody about how to do it. Like, just find out what's there for you.
Mm.
And then just take it one step at a time. Find out what's there. Find out what you need to do to apply. And apply. If you get the place, you don't have to accept it.
Yeah.
You know, you can defer it for a year if it's doing a degree or something. But just take that first step, because all it is, see everything as a first step. Don't see it as a year or 4 years. Just each step.
Keep it in the day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Keep it in the day.
Because it's just, I've done two other courses. I'm on my third one now. I'm doing at CIT, level 8 in digital marketing. So, I just haven't stopped. And yes, I do want to go and do a master's and probably a PhD after, but I have to save your Ruby's college money up first.
Well, if you need to do any project, the tonality is there. we could do some digital marketing knowledge, but we'd be happy to help you. Listen, it's been a pleasure, aren't you, Lisa?
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with us. You know, it's very inspirational, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of people get a lot from it. There was one thing stood out there just before we do finish for me is, say, for example, if there are people, men or women, mature students and their families, and they want to go back to college as a mature student, what I get from it is make sure, because when we jump into things, we forget about the financial aspect. Mm-hmm. But if you're going into college, you're going in and you're starting fresh, make sure that you do connect with the assistant funds immediately, so you're not putting yourself under any stress halfway through, and you know that there is funding there for anybody really that needs it.
Yeah, because every college will have like a VITAS officer or an access team or somebody like that.
Yeah, and there's supports for everything, for down to the counselling support services. There's just everything, and you get given all this information in the beginning, but you don't go through it all and read it, and you don't realise where it is until you actually need it. But you know, it's all there, all those things are there, and all they want you to do is stay in education. They don't want anybody leaving, so they do everything they can to help you. It's fantastic.
Well said, thanks a million, Lisa.
Thank you.
Adelina is our guest today. How are you, Adelina?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
We're delighted to have you here. We're in a beautiful studio, Radio Kerry. This is our second podcast today, and thanks to Radio Kerry for allowing us to use the facilities. We're down with our friend Teresa from Kerry College. And we said, well, we're down here, we might as well get in a couple of podcasts around education. So you went through education and stuff like that. But before we get into that, Adelina, that's not a Trillie name, is it?
Certainly not, no.
Where are you from?
I'm originally from Kosovo. My family and I moved to Ireland in 1999 during the war back in Kosovo.
Have you any memories of Kosovo?
I do. I have a lot of memories. I would have been 3 going on 4 years of age when we came to Ireland. So I do remember a bit of the war during that time.
So people that mightn't be familiar with it, Kosovo was a region which was a part of a wider country called Yugoslavia.
That's right.
And then there was the civil war where the different countries within Yugoslavia, Croatia, Kosovo, Macedonia, they wanted independence, and the Serbians didn't want them to have independence, and that was the civil war that kind of broke out.
That's right, yeah.
So Kosovo is a very small country within that though, isn't it?
It's very small, yeah. There's a population of less than 2 million people in Kosovo, half of which fled during that war in 1999.
And what's your memories of it?
Now, I do have flashbacks. During that war, it was March, towards the end of March, we were at home, asleep in bed, and we were surrounded by Serbian tanks. Our whole village was surrounded by Serbian tanks, and we were forced to leave our home. My parents grabbed a bag and we were out the door. We were walking by foot from one village to another in search for safety. We slept in abandoned houses that we found along the way. Whatever food we could find in those houses, we used, you know, to get by. Eventually, we got on the train and got to Macedonia.
Mm-hmm. And did you speak about having tanks in your village? Mm-hmm. You know, just was that something that just happened overnight, or was it expected at some point?
There was tanks roaming around. It had been there for a while, and it didn't feel safe to live there. So even that night when the tanks had come into to our garden and, you know, forced us to leave, my parents were up at that time. It was around 4 a.m. in the morning. My parents were able to recall that.
Mm. And was there? Have you many siblings?
I have 8 siblings. Mm. Now there was 4 of us back at the time. And when we moved to Ireland, my family expanded. My parents had another 4.
That must have been a difficult experience, not for all of you, but for your mother and father as well. Not just protect themselves, but to also protect 4 young children as well and make sure that they're okay, they're fed. And you know, that must have been very difficult for me.
It certainly was very difficult. Now, for us, particularly me and, you know, my younger siblings, we didn't realise the severity of it. To us, we just found it as an adventure, even, you know, going from one village to another and getting on the train and going to Macedonia and the campsites and moving to Ireland. That was just all an adventure for us, you know. But thankfully, you know, we got out of it alive. And
what about your extended family? You know, your cousins and aunties and uncles and stuff.
Yeah, so a lot of my family members would have fled Kosovo as well during that time. I had an uncle who had to stay back and fight in the war. My father was not able to fight in the war. You know, he's physical disability, so he'd done the best he could to protect us and make sure we were
job.
Safe.
That was better than fighting in any war, let me tell you that.
I would say that as well, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, did any of your family members die or anything like that?
Yes, there was family members who were killed in the war. Mm. Some were missing.
Yeah.
And to explain to people how bad it was, like, people might be aware of NATO because of what's going on in the Ukraine, and there's all talk about NATO, but the only time NATO ever actually intervened was in this war when they bombed Serbia just to end the atrocities, because it was appalling what happened over there. Mm-hmm. But now when you came to Ireland, did you go to direct provision or refugee camp, or what was that like? Where did you go?
So I can recall it was the 10th of May 1999. We flew from Macedonia to Kerry Airport about 11:30 p.m. and we were brought to a direct provision in Killarney. And my family and my father, we would have great time for all the Irish people that were so helpful and supportive during that time. We couldn't have received a better reception, and we'll be forever grateful.
Well, Kerry is your home now, and Ireland is your home, you know, so...
Yeah, we would say Kerry's our home, all right, yeah.
Yeah, and what better place could you have picked in Ireland to make your home? Kerry's probably...
Outside the Cork, yeah. Anyway. You sound more Kerry than Tracy as well. I know, it's amazing. Did you go into direct provision when you came to Killarney?
Yes.
How long were you there for?
We were there for... I'm not exactly sure of the time, but a couple of months anyway.
Okay, so that's not too bad in compared to some of the horror stories we'd hear, where people can be in there for up to 9 years. And what was it like in school and stuff like that? When did you become aware, like, I suppose, of your background and how you were? They had a different background to the people in Killarney and Kerry.
So I suppose when we came to Ireland in 1999 and we were in the direct provisions, it was announced that the war had stopped. And it was safe to go back. So we actually went back home. And, you know, it was far from safe when we went back. You know, our whole village was destroyed. Our home was destroyed. Like I said, you know, there was family members that were killed and people that were missing. It didn't feel like it once was. Mm. Like before the war, we were roaming around the fields, you know, happy children. And when we went back, there was none of that. You know, we weren't allowed to go playing on the fields because of fear of standing on a landmine.
You know, you can completely understand why any parent wouldn't want their children in that kind of environment. You know, I, on a personal level, wouldn't want my children living in that environment, because what you just said there, like, you hear all these different stories of bombs being found in fields, you know, from back in World War II, you know, in England and stuff like that. There could be anything still over there, you know. It's probably not a safe place for children to play.
Yeah.
So your parents definitely made the right decision by coming back here, you know, and making a home for you and your siblings.
And you were back over there recently, you said?
We were back there last August, September.
What was
for
it like?
A couple of weeks. It's very different to Ireland, but it's always great to go back home, you know, back to your roots.
But you know, my image of Kosovo is from the war and stuff like that. It, like, what way does it look now? Is it more, is it rebuilt? Is it modernised? Or do they struggle with poverty? Or
yeah, there's still a lot of poverty back home, but I suppose it is becoming more developed.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of famous people come out of Kosovo, haven't there? Rita Ora and Dua Lipa.
Yes.
And Granit Xhaka, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. And Shaqiri, Zordan Shaqiri. There's a few soccer players as well. She's laughing at my pronunciations, I know that. Yeah, but so you went through Kerry College, but did you go into college straight after secondary school?
So straight after secondary school, I went and I'd done a PLC course. Unfortunately, I didn't get enough points in the Leaving Cert to do the course that I wanted to do. So that was another route of entry to do nursing, which is what I wanted to do.
It's great that you bring that up, because there's going to be a lot of mainly probably parents listening to this now as opposed to the young people. But where their child didn't get the points they wanted for the course, and now it's like, oh my God. And sometimes there can be a stigma around further education, like they're not going straight into university. And it's, you know, but it's like, it probably might be the best thing that happened. Because
oh, definitely. I loved the PLC. It was way more enjoyable than the Leaving Cert. And, you know, I found it much easier. But, you know, it really opened loads of doors for me.
And it gave you an extra bit of time as well to mature before you actually go to college.
100%.
That extra year. That makes a lot of difference.
Yeah,
to people,
and it really affirmed that nursing is what I wanted to do, because I know there was students in my year, you know, when I did eventually go into college, that were straight from the Leaving, and some were reconsidering their, you know, college, their course options.
Yeah. Mm. I remember when I started my first year in the CIT, I was doing a course called Woodcraft Technology with Business, and our class started off with 16 in the class, you know, and there was a lot of young lads from the country coming in from the first time, just left school, finished their leaving cert, came into the college, you know, and it was like they were just left out of the cage, okay, right, and they had all this freedom, and I mean freedom now, that they didn't have to go home every night at a certain time. You know, their mammy and daddy weren't there telling them what to do. And a lot of them fell out of the course within the first year. I think by year two, there was about four of us left, because so many of them just ended up partying their days away. And it was a shame to see. And but the course you done there, you know, the further education course, that's the way route I came as well. I think it just allows you to get used to things. The pressure is not too much either.
Yeah.
You know, I think it just allows it, doesn't it?
It does, and it gives you a taste as well of what college would be like.
Yeah.
You know, so it does prepare you in that sense.
And it takes the pressure off the Leaving Cert as well. You know, do your best in the Leaving Cert. But it's not the end of the world.
Exactly, that's exactly it.
You know, it's not the end of the world. There's always another route, and you can get your points in the further education aspect as well.
Yeah.
You know, you see so much pressure on young children today doing their Leaving Cert. Like, I have a daughter, she's going on. I keep explaining to her, like, it's okay, whatever it's going to be, it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just do your best. We never give, you know, she's a great kid and whatever, like, but this is for every child and any parent that's listening to it. Like, your child will find their route. Don't push them into a corner where they're completely stressed and their mental health gets bad, you know, because there is the further education route. And I think it's a great step. It really gets these young adults ready for the next step of college, you know.
100%, you know. Yeah. And adolescence is such a difficult time, you know, of life, and all that stress, you know, that the Leaving brings on the teenagers, you know, it's very, you know, it's not good for you.
Mm. And how long were you in further education for?
Just the year. I'd done a 1 year pre-nursing studies course.
And what did you do after?
So while I was doing that course, I was working in the hospital as a domestic. And once I finished then my PLC, I was able to work as a carer. So I worked as a carer in the hospital for about 3 years.
Oh, very good.
While applying to college every year until I eventually got a place.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So
you're fully qualified. I'm
fully qualified now, yeah, thank God. And, you know, I know those 3 years, you know, of working, I think, gave me a lot of experience So I don't regret, you know, not going to college straight after the leaving. I feel like those 3 years really equipped me with skills and knowledge.
Yeah. And determination as well. You could have easily just said, it's not for me, or it's not meant to be, you know, with the disappointments of the leaving results and then having to wait a few years even after doing the PLC.
Yeah.
But you stuck at it.
Oh, I was determined to do nursing, yeah.
So that's your dream. Nursing.
I suppose my dream was to become a doctor, you know, even during the war, you know, seeing how helpful the doctors were and how caring, you know, and even my father, being a doctor was my goal. But realistically, nursing was, you know, a more realistic option for me with, I suppose, my language as well coming in, you know, as a foreign national and having to learn the language from the start. Like we came to Ireland having no English whatsoever. So we all had to learn that.
Mm. Yeah. And listen, the nurses in this country, they need to be rewarded and commended as well for the work they've done there in the last few years during COVID in this country. You know, I think the big shout out to the nurses that are listening here today as well for that.
And they need more than claps at 6 o'clock outside your door as well. I remember that the government wanted to give them a round of applause. Do you remember that? It was money that they wanted, not a round of applause.
And they deserved it too.
Absolutely. Yeah. But do you know, there's a lot of Ukrainians coming to Ireland and Kerry over the last while. I suppose you could have a lot of empathy for people that's uprooted like that.
My heart goes out to the Ukrainians. Now, it's a year now since the war has happened in Ukraine. I remember hearing that in the news and that definitely triggered, you know, memories and trauma as well. I just hope that the Ukrainians are getting the same reception that we got, you know, when we came as refugees in 1999. And like I said, my family and I will forever be grateful, you know, to the Irish.
Is your dad still with us? Is your dad still in your life?
He is, yeah. My dad is just the rock of the family.
And is the Ukrainian conflict triggering for him?
Definitely, yeah, it would be. And, you know, we would follow the news and, you know, we'd obviously be hoping that it's over and that, you know, there's world peace.
Yeah, I know.
There are certain people around, world peace is a big ask, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know? It's just something that the good people in this world just have to kind of put their feet down and stand up for the people that can't, you know. Like when you look at the Ukrainian situation at the moment, and this is where my head is at with it. Like, you've so many women that came off to this country with their children so their husbands could stay behind and fight a war. Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't trying to run. They want their country back. And I think that's commending. Like,
I know. And you know, people have to understand, like, I know Ireland is a grand old country, like, but everybody doesn't want to come here because it's a grand old country. People were happy where they were.
Mm-hmm.
People were happy in Syria and they were happy in the Ukraine and happy in Kosovo and places like that. They come here because they were forced, and
that's exactly,
you know
it.
What I mean?
Yeah.
And if your dad probably would have never come here, only exactly. that he had to. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Ukrainians are here. They were grand in where they were,
mm-hmm.
you know. But and we're the best country in the world for immigrating, you know.
Yeah, Jesus. They say we've something like 50 million people of Irish origin living in America alone. You know? And you could probably class the other 50 million Americans that say they're half Irish and they're not as well.
Wannabes. I know. But have you any advice for a student? Maybe two pieces of advice. One for a young person who didn't get the points they were looking for the course, and then maybe a bit of advice for their parents.
Yeah, so I would say to the student not to worry. You know, do the best you can do. Don't stress. You know, there's ways around it. And like I said, the PLC is great. Like, it'll give you an insight into what college life is like. And it will really affirm, you know, if it is something you want to do, it might be something that you completely, you know, hate and might change your, you know, path in life completely. So just don't stress. Do the best you can do.
Yeah.
And to the parents, you know, I suppose just to take it easy on the kids, you know, at the end of the day, it is their life. I know we can be so harsh on our, you know, even me with my younger siblings, you know, I'd want the best for them as mom and dad would, but just let them, you know, at their own pace and
that
is good advice.
Yeah.
That is good advice, you know.
And the further education is not an expensive option either. You know, it's not like you're looking that you need 16 grand to do a course, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's inexpensive and there's a lot of support there. It's been lovely speaking with you, Adelina.
It's lovely speaking with you too.
Best of luck with everything going forward. No, thank you. And thanks to Radio Kerry for having us and for Kerry College for the invite out. So, see you there.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.